There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Halfway through the week here, Wednesday edition of the show. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Text us. You can call us, 343-0106. We will go to Washington in hour number two. Well, kind of, with a discussion, further discussion of the Kavanaugh confirmation proceedings and the testimony from Dr. Ford tomorrow. And, yes, the latest accusation coming in here. You heard the discussion there on the Laura Ingraham show a second ago that the attorney for Stormy Daniels, Michael Avenatti, earlier this week claimed to have a client with a third allegation against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. He made the announcement and tweeted lurid accusations without offering the identity of the client or any evidence. Okay, that was earlier this week in the story from Mediaite. And they go on to say, today, Avenatti tweeted the name and the photo of that client along with a sworn statement from the alleged victim laying out her serious allegations. And we'll, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pop this story up on the Twitter feed so y'all can follow along, because, or you can just go, we can just send you right to the Avenatti tweet. But this is what gets me. Help me out here. Help me out. Tell me if this stands out to you. So there's a, remember he's earlier in the week he said he has somebody ready to make an accusation. He did not offer identity. Today he offers identity. He posts up on Twitter a picture of this woman, and then says, here's a picture of my client, Julie Swetnick. She is courageous, brave, and honest. We ask that her privacy and that of her family be respected. Now, if Avenatti was really, really worried about the privacy of Julie Swetnick, wouldn't he have just taken this to the subcommittee? Wouldn't that just go to the subcommittee? He posts a picture of his client and her name, and then says, we ask that her privacy be respected. Really? Avenatti's a lot of things. Naive, I don't think, is one of them. In the statement, Julie Swetnick, current government employee, alleges that Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge attended a party where she was drugged and gang-raped by a series of boys. I mean, these are serious, serious accusations. And we'll deal with this coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Talk more about this, and Quinn Hilliard joins us then. Coming up in just a second, we mentioned it this morning, as I saw the amended budget was emailed to me yesterday, little afternoon, about this time yesterday, what was signed off on by the Mobile City Council. The 2019 fiscal year budget signed off on by the Mobile City Council. In that, there are some reallocations of funds, moving money from one place to another, raising money one place, dropping it another place, and we'll kind of get to that breakdown and talk about it on the show. But joining us next, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, who said he was caught off guard as the Mobile City Council approved that 2019 budget with 10 amendments. The note that came out yesterday on Twitter from Mayor Stimson said, we were surprised by the City Council's decision to vote on the budget today and blindsided by many of the changes they introduced. There was no public conversation on any of the cuts the council imposed, leaving the rest of us to deal with the consequences of their actions. By cutting funding for GolfQuest, the city will be thrown into default on many grants tied to the museum. There will be severe financial repercussions at both the federal and local level, possibly affecting federal grants received by the city. Did go on to say, we're pleased that the council chose to support the administration's decision to improve the pay of our public works employees while the council claimed credit for the 5% raise. The fact is, the administration proposed an increase of more than $800,000 to go towards pay increases. But we'll find out more from Mayor Sandy Stimson when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Text lines open with your questions, too, at 343-0106. As I mentioned before we went into the news break there, joined by Mobile's Mayor Sandy Stimson to talk more about the 2019 fiscal year budget that was signed off on by the Mobile City Council yesterday. Mayor, thanks for your time.
Good to be here, Sean.
Yeah, it's good to have you on, and a lot to talk about. Of course, I read what you posted up on Twitter yesterday about you did have some commendations, but generally, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you were disappointed by the council's decision to vote on that budget.
Yes, Sean. I mean, as I continue to say that we were disappointed, there's nothing that's changed my mind since we heard the information on how they voted. So as we have really thought about the consequences of that vote, it really just increases the disappointment.
And let's break it down that way, too, because you did this in your tweet yesterday. You said you were surprised by the city council's decision to vote on the budget today. What's protocol? What's normal? Do they give your office, give you a heads up before they would vote on something like this?
You know, typically we know ahead of time that there was going to be a vote. And yesterday, we were uncertain whether there would be one during the pre-council meeting. The very end of the meeting, they mentioned that, you know, maybe we need to go ahead and take a vote. And so, but we were not aware of it prior to that.
Now, you said there was no public conversation on any of the cuts the council imposed. So were these not daylighted anywhere, for lack of a better term, where that somebody could have debated these?
Not to our knowledge. There may be something out there that we don't know. But to our knowledge, based on the public forums that were held, it was never in the public discourse. On another note, there were a lot of emails asking us very specific questions about funding various things. We answered all of those. All those answers are in writing. And so to our knowledge, there's nothing that hasn't been asked that we didn't provide, but at no point in time was the possibility of a GovQuest cut mentioned in any kind of public forum or to us.
Now, and I think that
possibility that the I team would be cut.
Okay, I want to get to this GovQuest thing, because I've got a lot of calls and text about that this morning. Can you explain, in your tweet you said, by cutting funding to GovQuest, the city will be thrown into default on many of the grants tied to the museum. Can you flesh that out for us?
Yes, I think the number is $26 million, Sean, of FTA, Federal Transportation Grants, that the city accepted, you know, back when it was being built. And that money is amortized over a 40-year period, and we're only 3 years into that 40-year amortization. So if GovQuest closes permanently, the city will have to pay back 37/40th, you know, of that $26 million.
I mean, that comes up as a payment that this. So the match is, right, there's some portion that came from city funds, and then there was the federal money, but we would have to pay the feds their money?
Yes, we would have to pay the feds the money. We have been in communication with them. They brought it up to us probably either 2 or 3 years ago that they had not forgotten about, you know, the need for there to be a ferry terminal. And also they brought it up and sent us a letter probably early September about the ferry. So that's why we have been working to get the ferry up into the Delta and up into the port, you know, working them with the new dock. So yesterday, because we know that the FTA is paying attention, we took the initiative to be proactive and called them and told them what had happened and told them that we did not, you know, it was early, we did not know what the pathway forward was, but that we would stay in communication with us. And so we just took the opportunity to ask them again about, you know, what happens if you go into default. And they were very nice about it, but they said, you know, you will owe 37/40 of the grant. And that's whatever that number is of $26 million.
Now, that would be, gosh, I hate to, that we're even talking this specific, but is that something that's due on receipt? Or, I mean, how does a municipality pay that? How do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. We did not delve into that. I don't know if that's you do it over a number of years. But it's early in this process, so we still just don't know the answers to everything.
Now, people were asking here that, but GulfQuest still getting, $500,000 in operating budget, right? Is that...
That's going to the salaries. That's correct. And there's additional money that goes to the pay for utilities. Now, but this was never the plan, for GulfQuest. The idea was that you would have, the 300,000 visitors, and it would be self-sustaining. Well, it's not. And that's why we had to step in to keep from being in default a couple of years ago. And at that time, we knew all the consequences of being in default. That's why we opened it back up so that we wouldn't have to come up with the money to pay the feds back. And the city council is well aware of all of this, but they have a belief that the feds will not make us repay the money. And I don't know where that belief stems from, but and in what we believe.
Is there precedent there? Is there some kind of loan forgiveness program or something, grant forgiveness program?
The FDA did not mention any forgiveness program yesterday when we talked to them. I can promise you that.
So conceivably that if GulfQuest shuts down, then we have, not to get into a blight discussion, but we'll have an empty building, but we being the taxpayers of Mobile, still have to pay the money back to the feds.
Yes, that would be correct. And really, too, Sean, you cannot let that building go dark and just walk away from it. It's got pumps that run, I don't know if it's 24 hours a day, but, a lot of the basement is under the tide line. And so there's got to be maintenance, and we own that building. So another consequence of other than not being able to just walk away is that we are thinking that this is going to endanger other federal grants. We're in default of this. We haven't been able to run that to ground yet, but that could be devastating because you've got about probably on average $3 or $4 million of police grants on an annual basis. We've got Tiger Grant. We don't know the impact of all that, but we would have never made a decision to put any of that at risk to find out what would happen. I mean, that's playing with a live hand grenade.
Right. Well, this decision, at least what I'm looking at here, is not one that's saying, in favor or not in favor of GulfQuest. It seems to be just a decision on the dollars, right, to keep from having to pay the 20-some-odd million dollars back to the feds. Penny dollar wise and penny foolish to cut the money.
Yes, that's correct. But let's think about what we're trying to do in the city, and that's increased. One of the things we're trying to do is increase tourism. So activating the waterfront was hugely important. The staff at GulfQuest has done a phenomenal job keeping the doors open and growing the attendance a little bit. But we have spent $150,000 or a little less than $200,000 on a floating dock so that we could start running tours up into the Delta and into the port. We've started having the conversations about having these pop-up events so that we would drive people to the waterfront, hopefully to attend GovQuest. And every single week we have a senior staff executive director meeting with people on staff and within the city about how do we drive more people to the waterfront, how do we do a better job utilizing GulfQuest and Cooper Riverside Park. Well, that just shoots all this in the foot.
I want to ask a little bit.
It shoots it in the head.
Yeah, I mean, it's done. Yeah, I want to ask a little bit about that. I know this may just be for naught now, but I guessed about this when y'all had the unveiling and had the floating dock and all that going on the Mobile River. I was talking about on the show. I said this probably is something to do with living up to the letter of the grant for how GulfQuest started. Is that correct? Was I right on that?
Absolutely. The idea was let's start small. Let's get a pontoon boat running in the Delta across up around the port, and so we actually took a trip to Daphne to figure out how do we establish a ferry between Mobile and Daphne, because that's the two closest points. And so it was a wonderful exploratory trip, and that was going to be evidence to the FTA that we were working toward fulfilling our obligation.
Right, you're not just doing it. I mean, I know it's a win-win. I know, coming from the administration's perspective, win-win, but the way I looked at it is it's just something you had to check that box off to be able to stay current on that grant.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. I want to get into some more of the items here that you talked about here after GulfQuest. You did say we were pleased that the council chose to support the administration's decision to improve the pay of our public works employees. While the council claimed credit for a 5% raise, the fact is the administration proposed an increase of more than $800,000 to go towards pay increases. Mayor Stimson, talk about that.
Sean, I think you just said it. We had already put $800,000+ toward giving raises within Public Works. So they moved money to the tune, I think it's $100,000, a little more than $100,000, and then they claimed credit for giving a 5% raise. Well, adding $100,000 on to $800,000, I don't know how you claim credit for giving them the city council is giving them a 5% raise.
Looking through a couple other items here, there's a lot of them, of course, out of the 10, but some I stomped on. Number one, performance contracts. It says $192,000 is to restore the proposed decreases to performance contracts. I remember in your first term, that was one of the initial items you were tackling with the city in the performance contracts.
That's correct, Sean. Let me say this, from a compassion standpoint, you know, my heart goes out to those organizations that are doing great work in the social areas of our city, and they certainly are worthy of funding. But our primary responsibility and the things we cannot turn our back on have to do with public safety, public works, and infrastructure. I mean, we've been trying to rebuild the city and improve the safety of the city since day one. So it comes down to choices. But we cannot abdicate our position on those primary issues that we've got to fund.
Now, the other one here, too, I looked at this. Well, there are so many, but they were limited on time. It was budget amendment number 9, the decrease liability fund, and increase LAD Stadium public parks and rec to the tune of $750,000, $750,000. Says, note, $200,000 of additional funds are earmarked for the walking biking trail and $550,000 for the maintenance and capital projects for a total appropriation of $950,000. Is this, you feel, a retort that comes back over the whole the LAD USA situation? Do you think that was specific?
Sean, I'd rather not speculate on that, but I'd say it's very cleverly crafted what was done, you know, putting the mayor in a difficult position, look like I'm not for funding any of those items. And so that's not the case. If there was excess money available, I'd be glad to recommend as part of the budget that we do those. But we've worked since the month of May, all the way up to the time we submitted the budget to the city council, you know, trying to determine where the money was going to be best spent. And based on our priorities is how we delivered that budget to the city council. We respect their ability, you know, to change that. But by the same token, we will have to live with the consequences of their vote.
And that's what you said in your tweet yesterday, that we all have to live with the consequences of this vote. And those consequences are, as you lay out, I guess what the biggest one would be, this possibility of grant default. I don't know if that's the right term, but grant default to the feds, right?
Well, it is. But let me say this. That's, some people think the federal government is far away. Well, it's a big number. But the 9 banks that loan money to GovQuest that trying to help it get over the hump, loan money to the foundation, you know, that's local. Most of that's local. And there's going to be some devastating impact from those loans not being able to be repaid. And furthermore, the people that bought the new market tax credits and the effort to support this effort now will have to go back and amend their personal tax returns and not claim those credits. So if you happen to have been a person that purchased them, then you will be having to file that amended return. Well, let me just tell you that that is very bad for the city of Mobile, for investors out there to know that we allow that to happen.
There it is. So right now, by this budget, this sign-off, your hands are tied? Can you do anything?
I don't want to. It's early. It's real early in this process. You know, this was happened about this time yesterday, a little bit before this time. We're still looking at it. So I don't want to paint myself into a corner. But, you know, I would just say that the council has made their decision, and we've got to determine how we're going to live with the consequences of that, because I cannot fix and will not fix some of the stuff, you know, that they won't fix. I don't have the ability to do it. It does not exist.
Mayor Sandy Simpson, thank you for your time. And as this goes forward, we'll try to get you back on the show to talk more about it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Now, we'll come to the phones. A lot of people want to chime in on this. We can do it at 343-0106, 343-0106. You want to see those 10 budget items, they're linked through. If you'll go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, click the link there for three big things. Check it out right there. 12:30, check in with Dr. Bill, Westwood One News, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, text coming in here, and we'll grab your calls too at 343-0106, 343-0106. Taxman, I don't know. It's a question I had, too. Taxman says, are the Mobile City Council members aware of the consequences of the GulfQuest bond issue? One would imagine they are, but Taxman, at that point, I am just guessing. I've sent email out to one council member, let me say open invitation to all members of the council. If y'all are listening or somebody knows them and they want to call in, you know, we always, well, This is a half hour. We keep open lines. We've got stuff booked next hour. But if they can call in, we can get that answered at least one by one. Yeah, somebody was asking me here, what was the vote? In other words, how the vote break down? It's 6-0. And I guess so you have an abstention, huh? So at least according to Dale Leisha's story over at LandyapMobile.com, he says, in this last paragraph, it is unclear if Stimson plans to veto any portion of the approved budget. However, a veto would be tough, as every amendment, and there were 10 of them, as every amendment was approved with a 6-0 vote, and the council only needs 5 votes to override a veto. Now, there's a bunch to this. We can get into LAD stuff. We can get into the, you know, who said raises at what level, and then you added and how much of a increase is that. But I think the one we got to tear this one off right here. This is what happens. This is why it's uncomfortable for a lot of people to be in a position where they got to get caught in a soundbite or whatever, because we the people don't always get the full story. And that's one of the things is GulfQuest. And you may say, well, GulfQuest has been, why aren't they standing on their own? Why aren't they making, I don't know. Well, I've got theories. But that being said, if you let GulfQuest close, then you have to pay back the feds the grant money. You just heard the mayor confirm it a couple weeks ago when everybody is, you know, all, you know, bring the sousaphone out, bring the band out, and have a big celebration for the floating dock on the Mobile River. I said, that's all well and good. It's good. I like Delta Tours. I like all that kind of stuff. But that was done as part of complying with the grant. Remember the grant money that started GulfQuest? And give him a break here. Sandy Stimson was not mayor when that happened. But to give GulfQuest the grant money, they took what was a grant for ferry access. Water, yeah, some politician in Washington decided, you know, what we need is more ferries. We need to be more places to be like Seattle. They need more water taxis. So they pushed this through. The grant money was out there. The city applied for it, went after it, and melded the grant application for a ferry dock to become GulfQuest. And GulfQuest was built and finished and closed and reopened and all those things, and we still didn't have a ferry dock. So that's why the floating dock thing happened. And so is the same situation now when you start saying, well, I don't like GolfQuest. I see the people, I don't go. Okay, first of all, I don't go as a reason to default on a federal grant is some simpleton stuff. Now, I may hear an argument. Somebody may say, no, truly, they will give you an out on your federal grant. Maybe that's true. I don't think it is. And also, I'd like to know how solid is it that this could affect other federal grants? Because you think about the other federal grants, whether, like Mayor Stimson said, they go to law enforcement, in other words, public safety, federal grant money that comes in for the Tiger Grant program, with stuff they're doing on Broad Street, those kind of projects, do they commingle those? Do you lose other grants because of it? Or, I don't know. Hey, anybody thought about some grant money that might be coming? Anybody? Yeah, we had people on the show yesterday from federal DOT. Yeah, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. Yeah, there is that. Let's go to the phones, 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll also grab your text, but phone calls first, 343-0106. David Mobile, first up.
Sean, my question is, do they really have to close down the GolfQuest Museum if they don't get this money, or is the mayor going to do that out of spite? And here's why I say that. Because in Lauren Spector's story about this, he said that this money was to go to operate the GolfQuest Museum on a part-time basis, the GolfQuest Maritime Museum is now up to a full schedule. So are they going to have to close down if they don't get this money, or would they have to cut back to a part-time schedule?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I don't have an answer to it. I mean, I'd love to have, I know generalities for how this grant is built, but I would love to see in terms, you know, terms a good old boy like me could understand. It says, you know, just tell me it has to be open this many days a week, or it has to do this thing. What's complying? What gets you a C? What passes the? I mean, we're not going to get an A here with this thing. So how do we just get a C?
And then another question I have is, the federal government really going to come calling for this money back when they don't do that on so many other grants throughout the country? And you've got the mayor that wants to spend $500,000 next year's budget and taxpayer money on a program, on a department that he was spending Michael Bloomberg's money on, that all they did was come up with better regulations to control blight, when you can do that for free with a citizen advisory committee and the city's legal department.
Yeah, you're talking about this innovation team, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so the I-team, as they call it, and appreciate the call, David, the innovation team, and this is from Dale Leisha's story as well, says the innovation team, which began with a now expiring $3 million grant from Bloomberg Philanthropies, was cut by about $567,000 to help the council fund a number of its priorities. The I-team was tasked with finding solutions for blight in the city after making a splash early on by digitally documenting all the blighted structures inside the city. The team has been more quietly working on legislative solutions to help speed up the city's response to blight. The I-team was cut by $36,000 and was added to a $180,000 cut to Stimson's communications department to restore level funding to all the city's performance contractors. Remember, we talked about performance contracts there? That's where that money, that's how they moved from this pile to this pile over here. Now, it said the cuts also increased the funding for VIA by $25,000, according to Mobile City Councilman John Williams. A $140,000 cut to the I-team will give the Connie Hudson Regional Senior Center $120,000 more in funding for an art instructor and a bus driver that would give $20,000 for Tremier Park playground equipment. A $100,000 cut to the I-team will go to the city's engineering department for park and other improvements in the Hillsdale community. A $35,000 cut to the I-team was moved to Events Mobile to add more funding to the Moon Pie over Mobile event. A $104,000 cut to the I-team was coupled with another $864,000 set aside for an incentive package proposal for Public Works employees to give employees in that department a 5% merit raise. But fairly enough, that I went and looked at it after the mayor said it, the administration had proposed that, so. But sure, to say there's anybody here who's beyond reproach in these things, well, that's not how sausage gets made, right? Sausage making is an ugly process. But I do want to point out all the ingredients that are in the sausage and let you make your calls on it. All right, and grab some of these texts, too. Let's see. Yeah, who? Okay, more people asking. It, the way I see it, the best way, and Dalton, unless we can find it, we were not rolling on yesterday's vote at the Mobile City Council, but I see Dale quoting 6-0, which means 6 yes votes on those budget amendments and, I guess, 1 abstention, or 6-0. David says this. I think this is interesting, too. David, I saw your text a little bit earlier. I want to read this one. This is a big discussion, and this is a discussion not just for GolfQuest. This is a bigger discussion for people who say, why can't we support such and such in Mobile? David says, here's what everyone in Mobile County does. Now, of course, David, usually I react to when anybody says everyone or everything, I usually go on the defensive. But I want to read this because I think maybe he didn't mean it absolutely literally. He said, but here's what everyone in Mobile County does. We work hard all day. Then we get off and go home and do it again the next day. On the weekend, we still just stay home. It is a city of homebodies. This is why none of these entertainment things work. We want to get out of the house. We go to Atlanta or New Orleans or to the beach. We're simply not a tourist town. And this whole idea of making it one came up years ago. Just a bad idea. We are a grunt town. Grunt town. Dalton, is that? I mean, I should know the library better. Isn't that the third cut from Jason Isbell's 7th album, Grunt? Oh, no, the Speed Trap Town, right. But it could have been Grunt Town. What do y'all think about that? Come back, grab some more calls, and we'll get your text as well. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. 343-0106. We will grab calls, also jump into the text line and my Twitter feed. I want to go to the Twitter feed first here. And by the way, too, I just got an email in about Attorney General Steve Marshall's decision on a plan to change, or at least the request to change the form of city government for Fairhope. We'll get to that in a second. Once again, you have to be able to. I'm not critiquing. I'm just offering because, Lord knows, I only get this because I have to, you know, spend the time I do watching all these news stories and paying attention. Just you can't just not do GolfQuest. Now, what David asked earlier was a sharp question, a good question, and we need to figure that out. How open does GolfQuest have to be to sit? You need to see the letter of the law of this grant. And David, you said, well, the feds won't come calling. I need more proof on that they won't come calling for their money. I gotta see that there's the new federal government debt forgiveness program for municipalities. If it's there, then great. But just send me the documentation on that. But on the thing you talked about, I don't know that. I think that's an important question to answer. What level does GolfQuest have to be open to check off the box to not have to repay the feds the 20-some-odd million dollars of grant money? Because on the Twitter feed, Jim says, GolfQuest will never be self-sustaining. It's been a financial disaster since it being built with cost overruns and dishonest projections of viability. Okay. I think, well, a lot of opinion there. It's a pretty defensible opinion from Jim. But the point is, even with that being true, it doesn't matter because we then would have to pay back the grant money. We're already debt servicing our batch of the grant, correct? In other words, the part that was local, that was put in, we're already paying debt service on that. Do you want to pick up another 20-something million in debt service for that structure? You know, in a one-time, or I don't know if they'll give us a, you know, give us a good note on it for some, you know, we have it on a 40-year now, I think is what the mayor said. Right now we have, a 40-year amortization on the city's portion of it. Would you like to add another 20-something million there? It's not, once again, you have to look beyond whether you like to go. Jim, I agree with you, man. But the problem is, what if you have to pay it? I mean, Andrew said absolutely should be, closed. Let's face it, it's been a major disappointment. All those things can be true, and that still doesn't change the nature of a grant. If we are on for this grant, that you have to jump through this hoop and do this thing and, cross your heart and poke your eye, whatever you do to stay within the definition of the grant, it's a contract. So now I want to know exactly what the line, how how loosey-goosey is it here with the contract, but it's a contract. So that's what I'm saying. Get it somehow, like, pull apart, rip the Velcro loose between your opinions and I think, like I said, Jim, earlier, very defensible opinions about how the Gulf Quest program has gone on. Remember when they were building it and I dared questioned it, I got shouted down from the rafters. I mean, if we want to go plant flags like everybody in talk radio does, let me plant that flag. So I did that and was shouted down and was told that I was being anti-Mobile and a lot of things. But at this point, that's water down the Mobile River. Let's move forward with what's happened now. There is a grant. This grant comes from federal dollars. If we do not do, at some level, have Gulf Quest, then we have to pay back the rest of the money. There it is. Okay, on the Fairhope thing, and this just coming into the inbox here, from folks at the folks of Fairhope, and then this, of course, coming out of the Attorney General's office, out of Steve Marshall's office. And this goes back to the question. Remember, we were talking about this earlier in the week as the Common Sense campaign had their forum, I think it was on Tuesday, or was it yesterday, or maybe Monday, about the future of Fairhope's type of government, whether it's going to be, you know, what strength of a council versus what strength of a mayor. This note coming from the city of Fairhope says the AG's opinion on form of government concludes petition process mandates single-member districts. Says the Alabama Attorney General opinion on the determination of a new form of government for the city was transmitted to the city attorney, Marcus McDowell, on September 25th. The city attorney was authorized by the city council on August 13th, 2018, to submit questions to the attorney general that sought clarification ahead of the October 2nd, 2018 vote to ensure that the petition, as certified, was valid. Confusion stemmed from provisions under the Alabama Act of a bunch of numbers and letters passed by the legislature this spring. So they've attached the opinion here, this opinion coming from Attorney General Steve Marshall's office. And maybe there are... I took the LSAT, but I don't practice law. So legal scholars, attorneys out there, if you want to keep this in between the mayonnaise and the mustard here on the road for me on the text line, you can. But the way I read this, it starts off, it said, municipalities, form of government, city council's referendum election, Baldwin County. It says the petition process contained in the Council Manager Act of 1982, as amended, only provides for the election of council members in single-member districts pursuant to section, and they list the code, because Act 2018-569 did not modify the petition process set forth in the section 11-43 of the Code of Alabama. Petitions submitted after passage of the Act should not specify whether council members will be elected at large or in single-member districts. Such petitions are valid and must only comply with provisions in section, they list another section. Then they go on to say, what's in that section? They said that section of the Code of Alabama sets out the applicable process for the election of officers and the division of a municipality into districts in the instance of a successful election to change the form of government in a municipality. Goes on page 2. Says, dear Mr. McDowell, once again, this is coming from the AG's office to the judge there in Fairhope. It says, this opinion of the Attorney General is issued in response to your request on behalf of the city of Fairhope. Question 1. Does the petition process contained in the Council Manager Act of 1982, as amended by the Act, permit the adoption of the Council Manager form of government by petition to consist of council members elected at large as provided in listed in another section of the Code of Alabama, or does the petition process only provide for the election of council members in a single member district pursuant to another section? I'll tell you what, we'll put this up here too, because Dalton, I know we're close to the break, people can read through, but it goes on to say, your request states that a petition was drafted, circulated, and goes on to talk about that. The petition, it goes on here to say, the petition did not, however, expressly state whether future members of the council would be elected either at large or by district. The probate judge has certified the petition and set a special election for October 2nd, 2018. It goes on to say, questions have arisen regarding the petition due to the recent changes in the law. Lists all those subsections again. It said it provides a method for a municipality to alter its form of government from mayor council to council manager through its municipal council. This provision, however, is in contrast to section 11-43A-2, which authorizes a change of the municipal form of government through the use of petitions signed by a certain percentage of qualified electors. So they're saying as I read it, I mean, and somebody can help me here, it sounds like it violates, it's not exactly what they thought it was, I guess, from what was passed by the legislature in the last session. We'll post this whole thing up on our, I'll post it up on Twitter. Y'all can check it out there. We're coming right back.